trying to say everything they say, do everything they do. We even try to dress like the people of the world. You know, this may be appealing. It may be appealing to you to do these things, and it may seem okay, and it may seem harmless. But how many know, if God didn't say it, if he doesn't do it, we shouldn't do it either. We shouldn't endorse it. We can't sign on. We can't sign on with it at all. Because if God didn't endorse it, we can't either. Because we know that if we don't fulfill the commandments of God, we can't see heaven. And saints of God, it's important for us to be working now so we can see heaven. Just like Adam and Eve, you know, they died spiritually because of disobedience and yielding to temptation. We'll die also if we don't follow the ways and the will of God like we should. We will also die. So saints of God, I believe that if you know who God is, if you know your God, he said we can do exploits. But if you don't know your God, you'll be turning to the ways of men, and you'll be turning to the ways of whatever you hear on TV and radio, and you'll be turning to those things. And God will not have us to turn from him. So there should be a turning, and we should turn back to the things of God. So we're going to pick up where we left off today. We're going to pick up on our next session. So God bless, and we're going to be talking more about who your God is in the next session.
This is what we like to call you, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger, but on a tree
you died to save man. The
This is KAYT. Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Matthew 27:46, Mark chapter 15 and verse 34. Rita.
Matthew chapter 27 verse 46, excuse me. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, la sama bathani. That is to say, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Mark chapter 15, verse 34.
Mark chapter 15, verse 34. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Amen. You may be seated. In this word before us today, Matthew and Mark both record the words of Christ in that fourth saying on the cross. And theologians and scholars have dealt with this cry, with this utterance, trying to make sure we get the understanding of Jesus, not so much as the Son, but as the servant crying out to his Father. He cried out in the beginning, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He cried out at the end, Father, into thy hands do I commend my spirit. And the Bible says, and he gave up the ghost. But in the middle of his utterances, he does not say, Father, but he says, my God. Now, Mark and Matthew has subtle nuances between the two of them, but collectively they give us a fuller picture. One of the things that you will note is they begin to talk about the ninth hour, and in the Eastern culture and in the Hebrewic time, the ninth hour was the 3 o'clock hour, for the day began at 6 a.m. And from 6 to 9 a.m., it was the third hour at 9 a.m. At 12 noon, it was the sixth hour. And then at 3 o'clock, it was the ninth hour. And then when it would go back to the 6 o'clock hour again, it would be the 12th hour. For remember, Jesus says, are there not 12 hours in a day? And so, according to this calculation and this timing, it's 3 o'clock in the evening and darkness has fallen upon the earth. The sun has turned its back and refused to shine. The Father has never, ever been separated from the Son, but he's not being separated from the Son, for in this word, the Son is not speaking as much as the servant. And the servant is saying, notice again his cry, not Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, but, which is interpreted, my God, he did not say, my Father, my Father. If he were the Son in this mode, because he's both Son and servant, if he were speaking out of the Son's reference, he would have said, my Father. But he says, my God, which is to differentiate the fact that he's speaking as the suffering servant who is the sacrificial lamb for man's sin. And so notice this, because I want you to see this. In these subtle nuances between Matthew and Mark, Matthew says, Eli, Eli. And then he uses the word again, lama. And then he says, sabachthani. Now, one of the things that's important about that is to understand that though the original language was Aramaic, it is filtered through the Hebrew interpretation. So because it is filtered through the Hebrew interpretation, he most references what the Hebrews have interpreted this saying from the Aramaic to mean. Now, when Mark speaks, he does not say Eli, he says Eloi, Eloi. Now, here in the King James Version, it says Lama Sabathani, which again appears to be a part of the Hebrew saying and or interpretation as well. But if you were to go back and look at it in the original, you have various interpretations. But in these interpretations, again from the original, here's what it says. When Matthew says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And Mark references from the more original Aramaic terms, Eloi, Eloi. And instead of Lama, L-A-M-A, it's L-E-M-A, which means for what hast thou not forsaken me, but abandoned me? So let's put it together, Mark and Matthew, and see the clearer picture. When you listen at what they have said collectively, it sounds something like this. My, being interpreted, my God, why and for what hast thou forsaken and abandoned me? Lord, I wish I had some listeners. Now let's look at that, because there are basically two reasons in the myriad of multiple reasons, but here are the two basic reasons. When Matthew asks why and Mark asks what, it's to help us understand the purpose and the mission of Jesus being fulfilled as the sacrificial lamb on the cross. And when Matthew looks at Jesus from the Hebrewic or the Hebraic interpretation, he's looking at it asking the question as the servant is saying, I've done, in essence, everything you've asked me to do. And when I need you the most, God, you've turned your back on me. Here is what the servant wants to know. Why? Why? I could see if you turned your back on me if I disobeyed you, if I didn't fulfill the commission that you had given me in the mission to hang on the cross, to pay the cost and the penalty for man's sin. But why are you forsaking me? And of course, the simple answer is for the reason of sin. Because every damnable and contemptible sin that was ever committed or ever will be committed in this world was placed on the cross of Christ. When he was nailed to that cross, he then had every sin nailed with him. And what an awesome burden, what an awesome responsibility for one who is holy and blameless to have sin placed on him and not in him. And see, we need to be clear, my brothers and sisters, you can be around sin, but if you maintain who you are and whose you are, you don't have to be in sin. And for the purpose of paying for every sin so that the devil could not blame one child of God who accepts Jesus Christ as his or her Savior, Jesus paid it all. which means it doesn't give us an excuse for not going to him and confessing our sins. It doesn't give us an excuse to say, Lord, you don't understand what I'm going through or the fix that I'm in. He was tempted in all points like as we, but without sin. So listen to this. Sin is the first reason. The sin was so great that God saw the sin and turned his back on sin, not the son. But the servant was bearing the sin. And because God is too holy of a God to allow sin to exist in his presence, he showed the fact that sin would have no part nor place with him. And when the servant felt the turning of God's back against sin, he took it personally. And so he felt that God had forsaken him. Mark says, for what have you abandoned me? Now, when Mark talks about it, Mark is talking about there's got to be more than the reason of sin for you turning your back on me who has never known sin. Are y'all with me this morning? And so, for what reason are you turning your back on me when I've never sinned, though sin is upon me that I am paying for on this cross? Mark wants to know for what. And the reason is clear: for the purpose of redemption. You see, you got to realize that sin is man's part. But the servant had to stay up there until man's sin could be redeemed. And so for what he's up there and for what God abandons him is because he has to endure everything necessary to complete the payment and for the penalty of sin. So why sin? What? Redemption. If he did not stay on the cross and pay the complete price for every sin, he would have failed to have done what God had sent him here to do. His job was twofold as the son and as the servant. He had to complete the fulfillment of God's plan for man. He had to do everything that God required for him to do to bring man back into atonement, back into a right relationship. And when it was all done, he shouted out, Tetelestai, which says, it is finished. 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 There was nothing left for him to do. And after he shouted, it's finished, it was finished. Not I am finished, but it is finished. And one more cry, one more shout, not of gloom, but of glory. One more shout, not of defeat on his part, but a victory. And when he cried out to the Father, now the Son reconnects with the Father, and he says, Father, not my God. Father, into thine hands I commend my spirit. Why? Because he rejoiced at the fact that through all of his suffering and all of his pain, as both the son and the servant, he completed the fulfillment of his purpose on planet Earth to return man back into a right relationship with the Father, and it could only come through the Son. And my brothers and my sisters, what a wonderful story of the love and the faith God had for his Son, and that God had for us to give his Son. And his Son loving us so much that he gave himself the best that this world could ever expect or receive. And when he did it with the joy of knowing he had the Father's blessings of returning and restoring God's chiefest creation back to the Father. That's why no matter what man has done, how far he has fallen, what his sins are, what his background is, where he's come from, etc., 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 if he would accept Jesus as his Savior and believe in his heart that God raised him from the dead, he shall be saved. Because when he gave up his life, it was so that we could receive that life. And he gave us something that only he could give. And he gave us life everlasting with the Father. Now, if you don't know how blessed you are, if you don't know what Jesus has done for you, if you don't know the price he's paid for your every sin, your sickness and your disease, and for all of the prosperity in this life that you will ever receive, if you don't know what he's done for you, then shame on you. Because the devil in hell has got a copy of what the Lord has done for you, and only can you praise him and give him glory for what he's done. The devil can't do that. He's done something for you he has not done for the devil, and that's redeem you. You got a song that the angels can't sing. I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's shouting news, saints. That's shouting news. And so, my brothers and my sisters, today, as we honor our Heavenly Father, as Jesus honored him, gave himself for us, let us look to the Father. And as the Heavenly Father says, honor your father and your mother. And if we do this, he says, our days will be long upon the earth. If we will take notice that because of the love of Jesus and the work on the cross, we have the right to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. And that's reason to shout about. Glory to God. The doors of the church are open. No matter what comes into your life, no matter how the storms rage and the winds blow, somebody ought to be able to say, my soul is anchored in the Lord. Somebody ought to be able to know that in this life, ye shall have tribulation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. You need to know today, my brothers and sisters, that there are going to be good days. There are going to be bad days. But every day, you ought to have Jesus close to you. And no matter what you go through, just listen to this, Jesus will help bring you through it. Don't lose hope and don't lose faith and hold on to the anchor that keeps you anchored in the Lord. Don't let man speak into your ear and tell you different from what the Lord Jesus said. He said, I won't put more on you than what you're able to bear. And whatever you've got on you, know that Jesus knows you can handle it. Why don't you encourage your brother or sister near you and say, whatever you're going through, Jesus knows that you can handle it. And when you get to the point where you can't handle it, cast it on him, for he cares for you. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah. Listen, I need you to know that these doors are open for you to see your way to Jesus, the only one who can save you, the only one who could bring you back into a right relationship with the Father. And if you trust him and if you lean and depend on him, your soul will be anchored. My soul is anchored in the Lord. I don't have a voice to sing that today, but I just want to remind you that it is today. It is today. Is there another who will come? Is there another who will come? Glory to God. Come on, sing it. Yeah. Still that hope that lies within is reassured as upon the distant shore. I know he'll lead me safely that blessed place that he has prepared. But if don't cease, and if the winds keep on blowing, oh, keep on blowing in my life, my soul's been anchored In the Lord. My soul been anchored.